Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Jawid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. We have been discussing some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature for quite some time now. And we are going to continue along the same line based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei, of course. Let me ask you this question at the beginning of this episode. If somebody asked, if I sell on credit something for which I paid using the income I obtained during the same homes year, while I receive the proceeds during the next homes year, are the proceeds subject to homes?
Well, it is cash price at the time of the transaction is considered as income of the year of transaction. And the profit due to its sale on credit is a part of the income of the year of receipt. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, we have to separate between the cash price and the profit. The cash price, the homes should be paid on the cash price. But when the profit is received, that's another thing. Mm-hmm. And homes should be paid on the profit later on.
I see. Well, what is the religious duty or the Sharia duty of a woman if during her menstruation something happens for which it is obligatory to say ayat prayer, for example?
Well, when it comes to a woman being in her menstrual period, mm-hmm. We understand that a woman cannot establish prayers while she is menstruating, and because it's haram for her to observe prayer, to say any kind of prayers, wajib prayers or mustahab prayers, of course. So ayat, the salat al-ayat, is one of the obligatory prayers. But since the woman is in her period, she cannot offer the prayers, and it's not wajib on her. So, to put it in a nutshell, when it comes to ayat prayers without a definite and limited time, such as the earthquake prayer, it is not obligatory for a menstruating woman to recite the ayat prayer during or after its time. The woman is relieved of this duty because she was menstruating. As to ayat prayer with a definite and limited time, such as eclipses, if she is menstruating during the solar or lunar eclipse from the beginning up to the end, It's not obligatory again for her to recite the prayer during or after the time for the eclipse, and during and after the time of the ayat and the time for the prayer. Now, the same rule is applicable to women during nifas bleeding, the postpartum bleeding, during the first several days. You know, the nifas bleeding continues from 1 to 7 days, 6 days, 9 days, and the maximum number of days is 10 days. As explained in the Islamic Sharia or in the book of Tawzih al-Masail, a woman in her bleeding, nifas bleeding, postpartum bleeding, and menstruation cannot approach prayer. Mm. She cannot establish prayer.
So she has to postpone the prayers until after
the menstruation. There is no qadha for them.
Even ayah prayer?
Just as the wajib, the daily obligatory prayers are not made up and they cannot be compensated. It's not wajib for her to compensate those prayers. Mm-hmm. The same is the case with those ayat prayers.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program Islamic Laws on Iran Radio. Stay with us.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. let me go astray, 'cause I need you.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on Iran Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Well, somebody asked us, Sheikh, I have been suffering from OCD or obsessive compulsive disorder for several years.
Right.
And this issue bothered me a lot, and it still does. This condition is intensifying in me day by day to the point that I doubt about everything, and my whole life is based on doubt. This has caused me to face many hardship in life. What is my religious duty regarding the things which or about which I doubt?
Well, OCD is a disease about which Islam has constantly and consistently advised people suffering from this disease not to pay heed to their doubts. You know, Islam is an easy religion. It has not made anything difficult upon them, and it has not made, and you know, it has not obligated Muslims to do what they cannot do or what they are not able to do.
Mm-hmm.
So the same is the case with obsessive compulsive disorder, which sometimes makes life very, very difficult. One should not go to that extreme. You know, it is necessary to pay heed to the advice of the religion, the scholars, the religious authorities, the prophetic traditions advise these people to ignore their doubt and to pay no attention to their doubts, whatever the doubt may be. A mukallaf should not allow his personal taste to interfere with the rules of Islamic Sharia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
Rather, he must absolutely believe in the commands of the Holy Sharia and follow them thoroughly. The Prophet, the Imams, and the religious authorities who actually give their fatwa based on the opinion, on the teachings of the Ahl al-Bayt, peace be upon them,
yes,
have said that it's not permissible when it becomes very difficult for a duty-bound person to pay attention to such doubts.
Mm.
He should give the benefit of the doubt to himself.
Mm.
He should do what is correct for him.
Yes.
So when he gives the benefit of the doubt to himself, then he is relieved of the obligation to further carry on and investigate whether he did it correctly or not. He should simply assume that he did it correctly.
Mm-hmm, I see. And needless to say that there is a kind of medical drug actually for it. Maybe some people are not aware of the fact that this problem, OCD, can easily be solved, you know?
Very good.
All right. Thank you very much, Sheikh. Let's take a short break, and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws on Iran Radio. Don't go away.
Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadin wa Ali.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on IranRadio.ir with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature based on the fatwa issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Well, Sheikh Javid, to what extent is obedience to parents obligatory according to Shara or religious laws? You know, should the parents be obeyed in all matters, even in personal life? Let's say, for example, choosing a spouse or a field of study.
Hmm. Well, some people are under the impression that it is always necessary to obey your parents or is obligatory. That's not the case, you know. Parents should be respected and we should not hurt them. What is forbidden is to hurt them, to oppose them to such an extent where they will, which will cause them anguish. Now, obedience to parents is not obligatory in and of itself.
Mm.
So what is forbidden is opposition to parents, which might actually cause them anguish and considerable distress,
mm-hmm.
in which case it becomes forbidden because to hurt them. And hurting parents is not permissible under any circumstances. Okay, but there are some important and major decisions which you should decide for yourself. Like, for example, who you are going to marry, what field of study you are going to choose. Okay, these are some important decisions which you have to decide, of course, for yourself.
Yes.
Of course, you can listen to your parents and see what they are advising you. Okay, but if you think, because they are from another generation and there is a gap between the two generations.
Yeah, exactly.
People understand things differently and their situation differs.
Yes.
So such issues are something you need to consult your experts, see what best serves your interest.
Yes.
And in that case, you should follow.
Even if when you consult, actually, it's up to you to decide.
Yeah, at the end
because
of the day.
It's your, yes. Yeah, exactly.
You should consult, and then you should make up your mind to see which course of action you should follow.
Mm-hmm, I see. Well, Shechovit, somebody asked that I have inherited a piece of land, and I sold that piece of land after 20 years. So is this individual obligated to pay the khums on the appreciation?
Well, generally speaking, we know that khums is not payable on inheritance. Khums is not paid on inheritance. It's not... what you inherit from your father, from your mother or close relatives is not subject to khums. Of course, if you kept the land with the intention of profit and increase in its price, okay, after the sale, according to obligatory precaution, as a measure of ihtiyati wajib, the appreciation after deducting the inflation is considered as income of the current khums. Of the current khums year, you know, the appreciation. I mean, the profit and the income that comes from the inherited land.
Yes,
you make a gain and benefit. Khums should be paid on that money or the profit that gained because you kept that inherited land with the intention of making profit. So that's why it is necessary to pay khums on the increased value, not on the original price. Yes.
Does it also include the interest that you gain? That is it.
Khums should be paid on the interest and the profit that you gain. Yes. And then, of course, if further interest you earn from the land, again, khums should be paid because it becomes a source of income for you.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh. Thank you. Thank you, my dear listeners, actually, for joining your own program, Islamic Laws, on iranradio.ir with me, Mohammad Javad, the host of this program, and Shechovit, the guest speaker, and the rest of the crew. Until another show, we bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Rahmanun Rahimun Mannanun Kareemun Salamun لا إله إلا هو